Do you see what happens when we fast? Have you enjoyed this morning so far? Oh my goodness, I only saw one or two heads. Have you enjoyed it? Are you still enjoying it? Amen. I'm just going to put these down because I don't want to damage them. We are truly blessed this morning, church. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see how you're embracing what God is doing in the church. It's a blessing. Let's do it some more. I want to invite those people that are sitting at the back. The front is where the anointing is, eh? I'm just teasing you. Let's start moving forward. Let's make space at the back. You know when new people come into the church, they're a little bit intimidated. So let's leave them in the back seat so that they can come and sit there and not be intimidated and feel comfortable in the church. Let us that have been here for a while move forward and make space. And we're trusting that lots of people are going to come in. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just pray over the word. Father, we thank you for the word that you have for us this morning. We thank you it's going to challenge us, and yet it's going to be a blessing. To some of us, it will be a confirmation that what we are doing is correct. Maybe there's questions that people have been asking about what they do. To some of us, it's going to be something brand new, something we know that's there, but that we've never applied in our lives. I pray for each person that there will be a takeaway this morning, and it will result in us starting to reign as the kings and priests you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to speak to you about how to reign. Who's the king and priest here this morning? Can we see? Amen. This morning, I want to speak to you about how to reign financially. How to reign in your finances. So, of course, now you know what I'm going to speak about. As we start this year, focusing on living as kings and priests, and as God's holy and consecrated nation, we are set apart. And God wants to bring us to the place where we're living fully as those kings and priests in the holy nation that He's called us to be. The first time we read about God calling a people, a royal priesthood, is in Exodus 19, verse 6. My wife with me. There we go. It says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Now, I found that scripture three times. But as you read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, not Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will find many times God speaks to the Israelites about His being His own special people. But where we read about kingdoms and priests is here. Then we read about it in 2 Peter, and we read about it in Revelation 1. Those are the three places you read about being kings and priests in the Bible. It says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And as we study Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, where God is giving living instructions to the Israelites, we find that God is very clear in his instructions. He expects them to love and obey Him and to put Him first. And in the same way, we are God's chosen people. It wasn't just for Israel. That's why we read about it in 2 Peter and in Revelation, that we are kings and priests. You see, Israel was not able to take their role as kings and priests. They weren't able to reach out into it and become the kings and priests that God had called them to be. So God had to make a plan, and I'll tell you about it on Saturday morning. But right now, I want to speak about the fact that God expects us to put Him first. And Jesus spoke about it as well. In Matthew 6:33, He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you." So, in Jesus' life, He expected us to put Him first. And by starting this year with the Daniel fast, by at the beginning of the year, by taking the beginning of the year and setting it aside and saying, "Lord, we're going to spend some time fasting and separating ourselves to You." We're saying to God, "Lord, we're putting the beginning of our year first so that You can bless the balance of the year." That is why we do the Daniel fast at the beginning of the year. And many churches are doing it. Some do it for 3 weeks, others for 2 weeks, others for 10 days. It doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that we are taking a portion of our year and we're saying, "Lord, for this portion of our year, we are going to eat different. We're going to eat like Daniel and his friends did." And what was the result? They were brighter, they were smarter, they were chosen because they honored God with that which came first, their food. You can't live without food. They put God first instead of the king. They put God first, regardless of what it meant. And in the same way, in every aspect and every area of our lives, we put God first. So while I'm talking about reigning financially, I'm also saying to you that in every aspect of our lives, we need to put God first, and we call it the principle of first fruits. It's the principle of first fruits. We need to apply that principle in our lives. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to put Him first. Let's have a look at how we can apply and how God wants to bless us through this principle of first fruits. So my first topic, or the first point I want to make here this morning, is redemption releases the blessing. Now this, and I did have some help with this scripture, with this message, but redemption releases the blessing. I've never realized this before myself. In Exodus, God told Moses to consecrate the firstborn among the children and the beasts. And the scriptures there, and sure we'll put them on the board, 13 verse 1 to 2, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Consecrate me, set apart to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb,'" what opens the womb? Babies open the womb. But God is talking about the first time the womb is open. "Whatever opens the womb for the very first time, set it apart to me. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." It belongs to God. In 13 verse 12 it says, "That you shall set apart, consecrate to the Lord, all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal you have, which you have, the males shall be the..." Now it takes the males. But it's basically the same scripture, and it's within a couple of verses. God says it twice. He wants the people to stand up and take notice. That's why He repeated Himself. And here we see the principle. Those verses are where the principle of first is first established in the Bible. Those are the first two scriptures where you read about setting aside that which is first. And in Exodus 13 verse 13, "But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you should break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." So it doesn't say go and break the neck of your child if you can't redeem it. Okay, because God does not believe in child sacrifice. But the donkey was an unclean animal. You know, they couldn't eat a donkey. They could eat lambs and cows and whatever, but they couldn't eat a donkey because of the shape of its hoof. So donkeys were unclean. So God said that thing that's unclean, the donkey, you can't bring it to my temple and offer it. So you've got to redeem it with something else. Bring a lamb. The lamb will pay for the donkey. Are you starting to see the line? The red line? The red scarlet cord flowing through the Word of God? The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. In Exodus, the firstborn among beasts that were clean, in other words, the lambs and the cows and whatever, were to be sacrificed. They could be taken straight to the temple and sacrificed. While the firstborn of the unclean had to be redeemed. And if it wasn't redeemed, listen to me, if it wasn't redeemed, it had to die. So if it wasn't redeemed, it had to die. These two classifications tell us the picture of what was to come. Jesus was clean. He wasn't unclean. He lived a pure and a holy life. He was God's firstborn. There's a scripture here, it's not on the board there, Colossians 1 verse 13 to 15. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption." You and I, who are unclean, who were unclean, we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, the clean one, and in Him we have redemption, just like the lamb redeemed the donkey. Isn't God's word amazing? Amen. And it continues in that verse to say, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." The firstborn of all creation is the one that came and delivered us by giving His life for us. Can we give the Lord a praise offering? His plan is perfect. So now when you say, I do not want to go and read through Deuteronomy, and I don't want to go and read through Exodus, and I don't want to go and read through Leviticus, it's boring. I want to tell you it's exciting because it points us to Jesus Christ. Amen. He's got to be the first in our lives. He must take first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Principle of first fruits. God gave His firstborn, Jesus Christ, in faith. In faith. He gave the firstborn in faith. How do I say that? How can God have faith? God had faith because if He gave His firstborn, would we receive Him? Would it be in vain? Would He be giving His firstborn for nothing? Or would He be giving His firstborn and it would reap a harvest of salvation and righteousness? God gave Jesus Christ in faith. He said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to show signs of living for Him or that we would do things right. He didn't wait. While I was yet a sinner, while I was lost in darkness, while I was still sinning, while I was doing the despicable things that God hates, He sent Jesus Christ to die for me so that I could be redeemed. He had hope in me. He put His Son down, knowing that there was hope for me. But doesn't that give you confidence to know that God has hope in you? Sometimes we think we're such, there's no hope for me. Well, God trusted us so much that He was willing, I would hate to say to bet, but to give His Son and take a chance on us by giving His Son, knowing that the price that Jesus paid was enough. And yeah, you and I sit today and we receive the gift of redemption. Isn't that beautiful? I was so blessed preparing this message. We have redemption. Did you realize that Jesus Christ, God's firstborn, His gift was God's time? Oh, now there's silence in the church. God gave a tithe. Now, a tithe is 10%. We know that Jesus isn't 10% of God. The word tithe means 10%. Did you know that? I only found that out when I was doing this. I just knew tithe means tithe. Okay. Another example of the principle of first we find in the children of Israel when they went and started to possess the promised land. When they went into the promised land, God said to them, bring all of the silver and the gold from Jericho into the house of God. In my Bible it says, into the house where I've chosen to place my name. Who can remember that in September God gave us a word? He said, this is a strategic place. And when they chose this property, the prophecy that came out was, this is the place where I've chosen to place my name. To me, that was a blessing. But God said, bring all the silver and gold of Jericho and put it in the place where I've chosen to place my name. That was the tabernacle, right? And they went in and the walls of Jericho fell and everything, there was victory. But Achan saw the silver and the gold and took some for himself. Do you remember that? What happened? The next city was Ai, and they were defeated. But I'll get there. Why didn't he say, give me 10% of Jericho? Why didn't he say, give me a tithe out of everything, all the spoils you got from Jericho? The answer is simple. The principle of first. Jericho was the first city. Jericho was the first city. There would be many cities thereafter. But God said, give me everything of Jericho. Because it's the first city. The principle of first. Give the first to me, and I will bless the rest. But Israel was disobedient. One man chose not to listen to God. What did I say at the beginning? God expects us to hear, love, and obey Him. And to put Him first. When the first comes and is brought to the house of the Lord, the rest is redeemed. Remember I spoke about redeeming it with a lamb. When you give the first, the rest is redeemed. The rest can be blessed. When you don't give the rest can't be blessed. When we apply this principle to our income, God redeems that first. God redeems the remaining portion. When I give God what is first, He will bless the rest. Say with me, bless the rest.
Bless the rest.
Amen. Right, so the first portion is the redemptive portion. When you give God first, the rest is redeemed. And we apply that into our income, and God redeems the 9/10. He blesses the remaining portion. It is protected from the devourer, and it is able to produce more fruit. My very first sermon, I think, it was maybe my second sermon, was how is 9/10 more than 10/10? Did you know that 9/10 is more than 10/10? That's difficult for me as an accountant to understand. 9 is more than 10. But in God's economy, in God's way of working, 9 is more than 10. And I'm not just saying that. It's the truth. The second point I want to make, so my first point is that the first results in the rest being redeemed, okay? Redemption releases the blessing. Secondly, the first fruits must be offered, must be brought. How do I say that? Exodus 23 verse 19. The first of the first, listen what it says. It doesn't even say the first fruits. It says the first of the first fruits. Okay, the first of the first fruits of your land. You shall bring. You shall what? Bring. You shall bring it. It must be offered into the house of the Lord your God. Malachi 3 verse 10 says this. We all know the scripture on tithing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The tithes is the tenth into the storehouse. That there may be food in my house, and try me now, and this says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Do you know this is the only place in the Word of God that God gives us permission to test Him? God says, test me in this. Try me in this. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. God says, put me first. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. And test me in this. And see if I will not pour out a blessing to you that there will not be room enough to keep it. Now who knows that God does not lie? Some people. I don't know if all of you want to hear what I'm telling you this morning. Amen? But we need to hear this. The principle of first fruits. God says, see if I will not bless you beyond what you can hold. Now, I'm sorry, but if I have my salary in my bank account, my 10/10, my 100%, my bank account's big. It's probably got some holes that can fit some more money in it. Okay, I'm not talking prosperity gospel here. I'm not saying start tithing and go and buy a Ferrari. What I'm saying here is test God in this and see if what that 10% can, or what that 100% can do, see if after you've given me the 10, if the 9/10 that is left will not be able to do all that you needed to do plus more. And I'm telling you now, from my own life, we've experienced it time and time and time and time again. And Cheryl and I started tithing right at the beginning when we gave our hearts to the Lord. So it's going on 29 years. We have never gone hungry. We've never been short. We've never had debts over our heads that we can't manage. By God's grace. Because right in the early days, when we earned peanuts, and we did earn peanuts, I want to tell the young people today, somebody told me, I phoned somebody in the week. I digress, okay? I can't understand this church, and I'm not judging it. Maybe I am, but and I shouldn't. But they told me, we can't afford to come to church. Finances are tough. I want to tell you this morning, church, you can't afford not to come to church. Cheryl and I, when we first got born again, we were living in Fairlands. We were driving two cars that were both crocs. We got born again here. The night I came to ask Pastor Patrick to marry me, I got born again, 21st of September, 1986. From there, we started getting involved. We started coming to two services. Then we got involved in a cell, and that's how we started to grow. We came to two youth meeting. 4 or 5 times a week, we come to both services on a Sunday. We had nothing. We some nights ate toasted salmis for supper, okay? Because there wasn't money to buy steak. God blessed us. Not once did we run without petrol. Not once did I wonder how am I going to get to work tomorrow because I don't have petrol in my car. Not once. So when people say to me, I can't afford to come to church, maybe I'm being ununderstanding. I know there's times when there just is nothing. But when I'm earning a salary and I'm able to do this and then the next thing with my salary, then there's no reason I shouldn't be able to come to church. Right, I digressed a little bit. But I wanted to explain to you that God's financial blessings have been upon our lives as long as I can remember. But it says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, and the first fruits of your land you shall bring. Okay? The reason God uses the word bring instead of give is that we cannot give what does not belong to us. Everything belongs. The world and all that is in it belong to God. Your salary, my salary, the church, your car, everything belongs to God. I cannot bring what belongs to God. Maybe He created it all. Don't tell me it doesn't belong to Him. He created it. Okay? So even if man has taken it and worked on it and made it into a car, God gave that wisdom. God allows us to pull the resources and we produce a car. That car doesn't belong to me. I didn't create the stuff that made it. God did. It's His. So when I bring my tithe, is it mine in any case? No. It's His. I'm bringing a tithe out of what He has blessed me with. That which is His, which is given to me, which is given me stewardship over. I bring it to Him because I can't give it. I can't give God what belongs to Him. But I can bring it to Him in obedience and in submission. We also can't say, I give my time. It's not my time. It's His time. It's His 10%. It's His 100%. We bring it so that the Lord can bless the balance of what He's given us. We have two choices when it comes to tithing, according to Scripture. Okay? And I'm not going to speak about this morning, yeah, but the New Testament's different. I'm not going to. Another day I'll tell you. But I can tell you that there's proof in the New Testament that we should tithe. Okay? We have, in fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees, it's good that you tithe. Why didn't He say, no, it's bad that you tithe? That's just religion. Alright. We have two choices when it comes to tithe. We can either bring it, or we can steal it. Enoch. Can I hear you say Enoch? We can either bring it, or we can steal it. Alright? Because if I'm taking that which is not mine, in the first place, I'm stealing. If I came to your house and visited, and I saw something nice on the counter, a nice little ornament, something, I slipped it in my pocket, and I left, would I have stolen from you? Yes, why? Why would I be stealing? Because that wasn't mine to take in the first place. Amen. So we can either bring it, or we can steal it. Maybe some of us need to say, hang on, I don't know. That's the only choices we have according to Scripture. The Scriptures don't say, keep the 100% and see how your month goes. And if there's something left at the end, bring that. The Scriptures don't say, take what's left and put it in the offering as an offering. Tithes and offerings are two different things. Offering is a free will thing. Tithe is, I'm bringing what's not mine. Offerings, I bring free will. Lord, out of what I've got left, I want to bless. Out of what I've got left, I want to make it as an offering and bless somebody. I want to be obedient and bless somebody that doesn't have. Let me go back to the city of Ai. Joshua 6 verse 9 says this, but all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They set apart to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. I want you to see that. All the silver and gold and the stuff that came out of Jericho was set apart. It was consecrated. Do you know when something is consecrated? It's blessed. It was brought to the house of the Lord. It's blessed. Say this with me. If it's consecrated, it's blessed. If it's consecrated, it's blessed. Let's say that loud. If it's consecrated, it's blessed. Right. Now, that same stuff, that very same stuff that God said was consecrated in Joshua 6 verse 19. Joshua 7 verse 11 says this, Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. They have taken some of the accursed things. Those accursed things, are they any different to the things that in Joshua 6 verse 19 were called consecrated? Can anybody tell me? It's the exactly same things. But because they chose to keep it, instead of it being blessed, it was accursed. And that's what the Bible says. If we take that which is not ours and we choose to keep it, it's a curse. And God says, you stole from me and you deceived. And God is not just talking about Israel and Jericho. He's talking about our time. Who wants something that's cursed in their bank account? Can I see a show of hands? If you keep that which is not yours in the first place in your bank account, it's cursed. And let me tell you what, when you know the story about the yeast? When the lump is curved, what does it go? But when the yeast comes in, the whole batch, the yeast spreads throughout the whole batch. If the first fruit is cursed, the rest is cursed. If the first is blessed, the rest is blessed. God says when we take that which is not ours, we steal. Church, I'm trying to bring us out of a place where our finances are cursed. How can we reign financially if our finances are cursed? Can anybody tell me here this morning? You can't. Why wouldn't you want your bank account to be blessed? Why wouldn't you want the things that you buy with the 9/10 to be blessed? Why would you want it to be cursed? And there are people here that have been struggling for years because you haven't applied the principle of first fruits into your giving, into your finances. You've applied it everywhere else, albeit church, morning, evening, prayer meeting, alas, cell meeting. But you battle the financial because you are not tithing the way you should. Or shall I say, we are not tithing the way we should. Then I'm not making it quite as personal. But that's the truth. If we don't tithe, it will be cursed. If your business is not being blessed, are you tithing? If your month comes to an end, and the money came to an end a week earlier, that means you're not blessed. It could be because you're not tithing. Another example of God's blessing on which comes first is Cain and Abel. Who knows that, well, I'll read the scripture, Genesis 4, verse 3 to 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his... Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You know, sometimes when we expect something from God and we don't get it, we get very angry and grumpy, and our countenance falls. But it's because we're not doing things necessarily. Sometimes it's because we're not doing things the way God wants us to do. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? Abel, as time passed, he brought an offering of his crops. Was that the first fruits? No, it wasn't. But Cain brought of the first fruits. The first of what he got, he brought to the Lord. His brother let time pass. It's the same as saying, I will wait and I'll see. And if there's money in my account after I've paid all my bills and everything is sorted out, then I will give God his. That's not the way it works, church. And I'm standing as a pastor, and most pastors don't like to preach on tithing. But it's my job to make sure that you are discipled, that you are equipped, and that you are allowed to grow and thrive. Isn't that part of our mission statement? Hey? We need to grow and thrive. So if you're doing it wrong, it's my job to tell you how to do it right. And I want to tell you now, many of us, we give our tithes by EFT, right? Because it's practical and it's safer. It doesn't always make sense to bring a wad of cash to church, okay? Especially over years as finances, you know, people earn more. I mean, if you're going to bring 5,000, 10,000 rand to church in a wad, you know, it's dangerous. But what I'm trying to say to you is, when we tithe, and we tithe electronically, what I did in my own finances is I said, well, I want to put you first, Lord. So when I go, and you know, internet banking is great because you can go and pay all your accounts at the same time. The first one, even though it's not at the top of the list on my set of accounts in my internet banking, I go and I put my tithe in. And then I scroll up to the other names that are maybe above the church's name, and I start putting those things in and pay my water and lights and telephone account and all those things. And I give Cheryl the allowance and all that jazz. I put God first, even then, because God sees what we do. And as I do it, I say, Lord, I thank you that you bless me and that you bless my money, my finances. Church, do you think that it was easy for me to stop a high-level management job where I was earning lots of money and become a pastor? No, I could do it by faith because I knew God would bless the rest. I knew God would bless me even if I was earning less. And He has, and He's coming through. Maybe God wants to bless you in the same way this morning. And on my second last point, and I must buckle now. You see, God couldn't accept what Cain brought because it wasn't the first fruits. In the same way in our lives, God can't bless it if we bring it in, it's not the first fruits. It takes faith to give first. And here's an example. That's my next point. It takes faith. God said, when you sheep as a lamb, give me the first one. You know why it takes faith? You don't know. It's like Abraham when he gave his son. He only had one son. God asked him to offer it. It was his firstborn. It took faith. Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. Why? Because Abraham never knew if he'd be able to have other children. He didn't know that God was going to let Isaac live. In the same way, if you bring the first lamb, you don't know if that ewe is going to produce more lambs or whether it's only going to have one. It takes faith to give up our first fruits. You don't know what's going to happen in the rest of the month. It's going to take faith. It's an expression of faith when you're tired. Because you're saying, God, I'm giving you this and I'm going to trust you with the rest of my finances. Trust that you will redeem the rest. Trust that you will bless the rest. Are you willing to trust God like that? It takes faith. It's not the 10% that brings about the blessing. It's the faith that brings about the blessing. Did you know that? It's not the 10%. It's the faith. I can give 10% at the end of the month with what's left in my bank account, if there's anything left. That doesn't take faith. If I give 10% after I've paid all my accounts, it doesn't take faith. If I give it before I've paid, it takes faith. And that will enact the blessing because that says, God, I'm putting you first in my life. And then releasing the blessing. And Conrad, if you guys want to get ready, the people that are going to be baptized, if you want to just go and get ready. My final point this morning is releasing the blessing. How do we get this blessing released in our lives? And I found the scripture on Friday morning, and I didn't understand it. I thought, why is that there? And I asked the Lord to show me. And I studied, and I saw what other people said about it. But God gave it to me strategically. Because I was going to preach this message this morning. Deuteronomy 22 verse 67. It's a very, very strange scripture. It says this. If a bird's nest happens to be before you along the way, in any tree of the ground, with young ones or eggs, with a mother sitting on the young ones or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go. And you may and take the young to yourself, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days. Now, it's a weird scripture. Why is it there in the first place? I'm walking along, and I find a nest, and there's some eggs and some chickens in the egg, and the mommy's there. Now, remember, they were subsistence people. Theoretically, they would take it, and they'd go and eat the whole lot, the eggs and the mom and the chicks. Okay? But do you see that promise at the end? That it may go well with you, and that you'll have a long life. Where else do we read that scripture? And honor your mom and your dad. That you may live long. It's weird. Okay, so I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, why did you put that there? That's very interesting. Why would how I treat a couple of birds make a difference? And then as I was praying about it, and there's various ways that people have interpreted it. But what came to mind, because I'm preparing this message. The mother. Who came first? The mother or eggs or the chicken? What came first, the egg or the chicken? In this case, the mother was in the nest. It was hatched before its eggs came out of it, and it was hatched before its chickens were born. The mother came first. And God said, if you release that which came first, you can have the rest and enjoy it. But you need to release that which came first. You need to release it, church. We hold on to our finances. We say, I've got it. I can't afford to do this. Is that released? No, it's not. We need to release our faith and say, Lord, I'm doing it because I trust you. The widow gave her last 2 mites. It was all she had. She said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I've got so little in any case. Church, we've got so little in any case. Release that which came first. Eat the eggs. Eat the chickens, the babies. Why else do I say that? When you release the mother, it's the same as killing the lamb. The ewe remains alive. It can bear more ewes. It can have more eggs. It can have more little babies. But if you kill the mother, there's nothing left. There's no blessing down the road for you. There's no more eggs that are going to hatch. There's no more chickens that are going to come forth. You need to release that which came first. And then God can bless you. Does that make sense to you this morning? And I want to challenge you this morning. God is challenging us. Release the first. Let it, don't hold on to it. Don't eat your seed. You've heard that many times. Don't hold on to it. Release that which came first. So that it can produce fruit and a harvest. Proverbs 3 verse 9 to 10 says this: honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. When we give the Lord the first fruits, we honor Him, not the church. Yes, the church needs finances. Honor the Lord by bringing it to the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? There where you eat. There where you get fed. And I'm not going to go and start saying, talking about television ministry and this. Don't give your tithe elsewhere. Come to the place where the Lord has put His name. Bring it here. This is where it belongs. If you want to give after that, it's an offering. Your tithe belongs in the place where the Lord has put His name. Amen? So if you're tithing somewhere else, you're tithing in the wrong place, God won't bless it. Okay. So when your barns, it says here, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with wine. If we honor the Lord with our first fruits, we will be participants in plenty. In plenty. That's God's promise. Honor Him with the first fruits. Bring it into the storehouse. Let Him release, let Him redeem the nine tenths. Let Him bless the nine tenths. Let Him fill your storehouses and fill your barns. And God will do it. I had a prayer. It's not the same scriptures, but it's painted out. It was a prophetic prayer that was a scripture that was given to me. It's hanging on the wall in my bedroom. And God was blessing us. But this, it had to do with God blessing us financially, spiritually, every way. I used to look at that thing and pray every morning and ask the Lord for that blessing. I couldn't believe the way the Lord started to prosper and bless my life and my family. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Everything that's yours, honor the Lord. Give. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. If we follow this principle, it'll go well with us. The last point is who's first. The tithe represents who's first in your life. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. You know that Jesus didn't say you can't serve God and sin. He didn't say you can't serve God and clothing. He said you can't serve God and money, because money is the best indicator of where your heart is. Did you know that? That's why He tests us with the tithe. And He says, test me with the tithe. Robert Morris says this, Pastor Robert Morris. He says, you can tell me all day long that God is first in your life, but let me see your bank account and I'll tell you who's first. Enoch. Where does the first 10% go? This is what he said. That's who's first. Where do I pay my first payments in the month after I've got my salary? That will tell you who's first in your life. Whether you're trusting Him in your finances, whether He's number one, or whether He comes second, third, fourth, or 20th in the queue. Depends how many things you've got to pay. If God comes last, that's where He is in your life. If He comes first, that's where He is in your life. Church, I've preached it out of the Word. I haven't sucked my thumb, put the scriptures on the board there. Yes, pastors do need to preach about tithing. I'm not trying to force you or manipulate you into giving. It's your choice. You can choose to give what's not yours in the first place or to steal it. That's between you and God, not between me and you. I've preached it as I've seen it. But my encouragement to you is by applying the principle of first, God will allow you to reign financially. It will release His blessing of provision into your life, because that which we get to keep will be blessed. There are many blessings that go along with tithing, but it's the principle of faith, putting God first, that initiates those blessings. The first portion, or the tithe, is the portion that will redeem the rest. God doesn't want us to be legalistic around this, okay? He doesn't want us to legalistically apply this in a begrudging way. What He wants is that our hearts will be submitted to Him, and that we'll respond to Him in this area of our lives with our hearts and show Him who's first. Can I hear an amen? Was that tough? Let's praise the Lord. Maria, jy moes hier so gewees het. Mariska, sorry, are the children here? Okay, are they in the back getting changed? We're going to ask the worship team. Sorry, there was a bit of confusion here. Mariska, kom, get changed. We'll send somebody else to the back. Thanks, Erika. Get changed as quick as you can. We're going to ask the worship team to come forward. And then while we're doing that, I'm going to just minister a little bit. Let's stand together, church. I'm sorry. I was really trying to finish at 10:45 this morning. While we're standing, I want us to pray for those that have been battling financially. Pray for those that have been battling for work. So let's just drop our heads. Close our eyes. I'm not going to call you forward this morning. People struggling financially. Well, maybe the principle of first has been a challenge for them. Maybe they've been applying the principle of first and things are still going on. We know that the enemy also comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Lord, maybe people have been looking for work, but historically in their lives, the principle of first is not applied. And you want to give them a breakthrough this morning and you want to give a release. But you're saying, if I give you work, will you apply the principle of first? Lord, whatever the message is for the people that have a need this morning, pray that you will break that hold of financial poverty, struggles, difficulties, not having enough when the end of the month comes, having too many accounts to pay. I pray that you'll break it in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, where people have been maybe not as diligent as they should have with their finances, and debt has come and is controlling their lives. We break that thing in Jesus' name, and we pray that you'll release them from that. Lord, they've got to pay their debts, but help them to break out of that thing. It's a hold. Lord, where people need employment, we pray that you will release employment, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the economy. I ask this in the name of Jesus, and everybody says, amen. Amen. All right.